This morning's scripture passage comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 20. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but he said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. My name is John Johnson. I serve on the Evangelism Commission, and on this Mission Sunday, I want to spend just a brief moment reflecting on some statistics about our world's population. So Jeremiah, if you could put my first slide up there. It's a little bit distorted here, but you see this circle that covers most of Southeast Asia. There are more people that live within that circle than live outside of it. The United States is about 5% of the world's population. 95% of the world's population is outside the United States, and more than half the world's population is within that circle. Jeremiah, next slide. This is a chart of the population growth of our world in different areas of the world, and you can see the large growth at the top line is Asia, which has had dramatic growth in recent years. The next line, the purple line, is what's projected for Africa over the next coming decades. By 2050, our world's population is estimated to arrive at around 9.5 billion, and the largest share of that growth will happen within the continent of Africa. Next slide. This is what's known as the 10-40 window, between latitude 10 degrees and 40 degrees, and it covers a large portion of this area where two-thirds of the world's population lives, and it's dominated by the belief systems that you see portrayed there: Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, animist, and atheist. This is also where a large portion of the world's poorest people live. There are about 800 million people in this country that live on less than $2 a day, and the majority of those people live within this region. But God has his people here as well. It's not total darkness. There are believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, living in these parts of the world, and the main thing they lacked is resources, financial resources to advance the kingdom. The Church of Jesus Christ today is predominantly black, brown and black, not white. We've got brothers and sisters throughout these countries. They are a small minority in many places, and the light is just beginning to break in, but they need resources to expand that work. For our U.S. missionary to go to this region of the world requires years of training, years of study of language, and about between $100,000 and $150,000 a year in support. Our brothers and sisters who are living there today know the culture, they know the language, they don't get sick on the food. They do sometimes need some doctrinal instruction, but and they also need financial resources to advance the kingdom. Next slide. So 25 years ago, Bo Barreto, who had left a prestigious career in the legal profession in the Philippines, together with Carl Gordon, began advancing Native missions. They are focused almost exclusively on helping our brothers and sisters in these countries advance the kingdom. And we're privileged today to hear from our brother, ambassador, and servant of the King, and our brother in Christ, Bo Barreto.
Bo.
God is holding us personally, each one of us, accountable for this. Don't mouth these words unless you really mean it. The theme for this morning is Psalm 96, verse 3, which states, "Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples." Let me say that again. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. You would ask me the question, Bo, how does that look like? To declare God's glory among the nations and to tell of His marvelous works among all the peoples 116 years ago, exactly August the 21st, 1901, which is 116 years ago. The U.S. government sent the first American teachers to my country, the Philippines, composed of 7,127 islands on a high tide. On a low tide, there are more islands that come up from the water. But amongst these 500 American teachers sent to the Philippines in 1901 are many missionaries sent by the churches. And they were on an American transport, the USS Thomas. And so this group of missionaries were called as the Thomasites because of the name Thomas. And when they went to the Philippines, they did this. They declared God's glory and told of His marvelous works among all the peoples. So you would ask me the second question. So, Bo, what did He declare? What did He declare when you say He declared God's glory among the nations? I'd like to refer as our basic answer to that question when Paul was addressing the church of Corinth. And Paul said this, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. That is declaring the glory of God among the nations. And the gospel could always be always announced, declared this way, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. The gospel also could be declared this way, He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. The gospel could also be declared this way, for He bore our sins upon His own body upon the cross, that we who might live to sin would live for righteousness, and by His stripes you are healed. And what are the marvelous things that He declared to my people in the Philippines? He also declared that if a man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. What else did He declare of the marvelous works of the Lord? The works of the Lord is this. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to a place, and when I come back, I will take you with me, that where I am, there shall you also be. What else? It consists of the truth. The most powerful thing in the whole world is the truth, because the truth comes by name, and the name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. So what else did he declare? He declared this when Jesus said, "He who hears me and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life. He shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." This is what they declared. And many came to the Lord, and many received him. And he again who is in Christ is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. One of those converts in the ensuing years of the presence of the first American missionaries in the Philippines were my grandparents, Crescenciano Barredo and his wife, Felicidad. They came to the Lord, and when you come and visit my country and ask for the names of my grandparents, Crescenciano Barredo and his wife, Felicidad, people would not remember them as people who died very poor, because they died very poor in terms of material resources. But people remember them as faithful Sunday school teachers. My grandfather was the one teaching the senior citizens of the church, the biggest evangelical church in my city of 500,000. And his youngest student was 9 years old, and that was me. You know what the first American missionaries told and shared with my grandparents? They translated some of your favorite songs to children. And my grandparent shared it with my father. My father shared it to me, and I still have it. I'm now 67 years old, but I could still sing it from my heart. And it says this way: Si Jesus nagahigugma sang tanan kabataan, maputi kag mapula, maitom kag abuhon. Si Jesus nagahigugma sang tanan. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Come on, let's sing. Yellow, black, and white. Jesus loves the little children of the world. That is the legacy that the first American missionaries handed down to my grandparents, to my parents, and also to me, that I have handed down to my own children until that generation that the Lord comes back and takes all of us with him. What is my favorite song that was taught by the Americans when I became a father of my own family? My favorite song was this. Kalipay sang akon kasing-kasing kalipay, kay naluwas ako si Kristo nagaaman sang puloy an sa langit, ang akon kasing-kasing nagakalipay. Be careful that you might find it so funny that I'm going to charge you amusement tax. Why did I share about the first American missionaries who came to my country and revealed to us the most powerful message in the whole world? A heart that is turned to that message and receives that message could turn the world upside down. Why? For two reasons. Number one is because of gratefulness. How could you not be grateful to be shared about the Lord Jesus Christ, the only name given to men under heaven by which men could be saved? The only name to which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Gratefulness. Pastor Brett, my father, raised me up on many kinds of teachings. About, of course, based on the gospel, and one of them is gratefulness. He says, son, always remember, you're young, you're old, you're about to die, always remember about gratefulness. That gratefulness that is not expressed is ungratefulness implied. Let me say that again. Gratefulness that is not expressed or declared is ungratefulness implied. So you representing the churches of America who sent the first American missionaries to the Philippines 116 years ago, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. On behalf of my grandparents, on behalf of my parents, on my behalf, me and my wife, and on behalf of our children, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. The second reason is I come to you as part of the member, as a member of the body of Christ, that we are facing a very challenging season on global missions because so much changes have taken place globally. And the most radical change have taken place in terms of the socio-economic, political, geographical things that happened globally. And many borders have closed down. Many borders are restricted to the traditional missionaries that the West have been sending to many parts of the world, especially in Asia. What do we do? What do we do? Advancing Native Missions, who is serving many Native missionaries, still has this kind of declaration and challenge in the churches like this. We asked you, Whisker Presbyterian Church, to continue sending your sons and your daughters to the different mission fields in the world. We need missionaries to go on these mission fields. Subject, however, to the challenge that many of these borders are closed and many of these borders are restricted, one of the most downhearted figures I've encountered when I started mission service was in 1988 to 1992, when a missions research center in the U.S. put out the facts and the numbers. From a high of 55,500 full-time career missionaries from North America, in 4 years alone, 1988 to 1992, it went down from 55,500 to 41,114. And the numbers are shrinking. It's not increasing. However, there's a rise of short-term missions, which is wonderful. But that is not the answer. As Brother John Johnson has shared with us, the population is going to be 9.5 billion in a matter of a few years. Who will declare the gospel? You know fully well that God is the God of fond of creating new things. Remember that? In the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, 18 to 19, this is one of the favorite verses of Oliver for this year. It says, remember not the former things, neither to consider the things of old. For behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even open a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And so God raised up Native missionaries. Your question is, what are your basis for Native missionaries? Number one, it's in the scriptures. I asked our missiologist, his name is Eric Bess. He's a very much sought speaker internationally. So I said, Eric, you're not only a missiologist, and also you are also the director for leader care. I said, Native missionaries, are they in the scriptures? Of course, I already know the answer. And this is what he's got to say. I said, Mr. Crowder, thank you, has read the scriptures. After a long storm-filled night crossing the Sea of Galilee, Jesus and his followers came across and landed in that region called the Gadarene. In some translation, the Gadarenes. It was Gadarene, and they were met by a man that was being tied to the tombs. And he was crying day and night in anguish, in agony. And he was cutting himself with stones. And he was miserable. He was in agony. He was hopeless. He was helpless because he was filled with a legion of demons. He was demon-possessed. And of course, the story goes that Jesus drove the demons away and entered into the pigs. Not the pigs from Iowa, by the way. And of course, they drowned in the sea. And the people of the region came to Jesus and begged him to leave their region. But the former demoniac came to Jesus and begged him to go with Jesus. But you know what Jesus said? No. No. And why did he say no? Eric Best, the missionologist, said, because the answer lies in Psalm 96, verse 3, that says, to declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. And Eric is saying, I believe Jesus is intentionally fulfilling this declaration of God's sovereign reign over his entire creation including every people group. He is, in fact, preparing a native indigenous missionary to declare his father's glory among the Gentiles. And Jesus commands the demons to leave the man. And the man released from the demon, on the other hand, begged him to go with Jesus. But Jesus said no to the man's request. And of course, again, the question is why? Jesus tells the man, go home to your friends. Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. And tell them that God has had compassion on you. Eric is saying that God's message or Jesus' message to the former demoniac is that it is not enough to receive. Let me say that again. In essence, he was saying, it is not enough to receive the mercies of God, the great things that has been done upon you. It is not enough. It is not enough. Whisker Presbyterian Church, it is not enough. We should also participate. Because we have heard it, we have received it, we're standing by it, we've been saved by it. Gratefulness should exist. And gratefulness that is not declared is ungratefulness implied. You would say, so Brother Bo, why native missions? The first reason why, because it is in the scriptures. Brother Bo, in the Bible, it requires at least 2 or 3 witnesses to establish a fact. Dan Marvin is right here. He's a fellow attorney of mine. Dan, where are you? Dan, don't be ashamed that you're a lawyer like me. He's out. Dan, yes, Dan, raise your hand, Dan. Higher, please. That's the lawyer there. You know, for a brief moment in time, after my mother died, my father had us a law office. It was Baredo, 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 and Baredo. Please forgive us. It was my father, my stepmother, myself, my wife, my brother Ken, my brother Ike. And all my brothers are pastors, and my sister a missionary. So when you are in a family, you choose either to go to hell or to go to heaven. Either you become a lawyer or you become a minister. The second reason, aside from the scriptures, which also actually includes also the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman is the second indigenous native missionary that Jesus sent out to tell about the greatness of God to her own people. And the third one is this. You'll be surprised by the third witness, Brother Dan, is Jesus himself. Jesus was the ultimate missionary, foreign missionary. He came from heaven. He came down to us. But you know, he came not to the Gentiles. He came to his own people. He came to his own people. So, native missions in the scriptures, the second one is this. God is doing a new thing. You know, there are 4 seasons in global missions. Number one was when the missionaries we sent out actually established outreaches in the coastlands of unreached continents. The second season in global missions is when they started going into the interior, like Dr. David Livingstone went inside the interior of Africa and established churches. And then there was a shift after the Second World War. After the Second World War, the missiologists, respected missiologists in America and in North America for that matter, found out that they have to shift from missions in terms of geographical determination now to people groups, because now they have remembered, and it's underscored to them by the Holy Spirit, what John the Apostle has sent on our behalf. In the book of Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, John the Beloved saw this. Pastor Jerry, you remember the words in the book of Revelation, global missions. And John said, I beheld a multitude that no man could number, coming all from all the nations, from all the tribes, from all the kindreds, and from all the language groups, standing with white robes, with palms on their hands, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and saying, salvation belongs to God. Salvation belongs to God. And together with the elders, the angels, and the beast, they proclaim these following words, Amen, and blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto him who sits on the throne. Amen. Amen. For eternity, forever, and ever, and ever, and ever. And you know what? What is this distinctive thing of this multitude that no man could number before the throne, declaring his blessing, his glory, his wisdom, his thanksgiving, the power, the might, and the honor? They were speaking their own languages. They were speaking their own languages, and God gets it to his presence like a sweet aroma, people praising him in all their languages. What is the third reason why Native Missions? Aside from it's in the scriptures, it's the new move of the Holy Spirit. The third one is this, because the kingdom of God, many of us here are businessmen. I met Brother Darren yesterday, he's a businessman. He knows about investments. Matthew chapters 24, 25 emphasizes about the talents. It's actually God giving you responsibility for all the resources that you have at the present time, because all things belong to him. All the pigs in Iowa belong to him. All the owners of the pigs belong to him. And so he has made us stewards of his resources. And so the parable of the talents is this, that when the Lord left his overseers for an undisclosed period of time, he expected them that when he comes back, because they know his personality and they know his character, what kind of master he is, they would have already given increased value to the talents that the Lord, their Lord, left with them. So the one with the five talents, the second with the two talents, and the one with only one talent. And he came back and found with the one with five talents, it increased in value. Maybe he invested this in the U.S. stock market. The second one with two talents increased in value, and he was happy. And the third one was he buried it because he didn't trust the character and the personality of his Lord. He buried it. And you know what he got? To use a contemporary word, he got a tongue lashing. Did you hear that? He got a tongue lashing from the Lord. There was once a time on the ninth month of our ministry that I received from one of my friends $500,000 and said, Brother Bo, follow your own heart on how to distribute this and to find out the ones who are declaring God's glory in many nations. So I went to my co-founder, Carl, and I said, Carl, let's give this away. Immediately, as soon as we can, find the investments. And Carl said, why don't we delay it a little bit? I said, no, Carl, if this money, $500,000, is found in the bank by the Lord for 1 or 2 years, and he comes back, we will get a spanking. We will get a spanking. If you're hiding millions, an idol, and not using it to declare God's glory, please, don't get a spanking when he comes. Take them out. And the last one, why Native Missions, is this. Because God is proving again and again and again and again that God could use anyone, the lowly, the downcast, the persecuted, to accomplish his purposes in their generation. You know, going back again to the former demoniac, you know what happened there? God showed us again. He belongs to the lowly, to the outcast, but yet God used him to declare his glory in his area among his friends, among his family, among the 10 cities in that area called the Decapolis or 10 cities. If we lawyers, Brother Dan and I, my wife and I, when doctors like you would refuse to help in this great Herculean but heavenly task of declaring God's glory among the nations and telling of his marvel works to all the peoples, God is going to hold us accountable. God is going to hold us accountable. In the last breath on our deathbed, it will bother us. And if you hear this message today and God's word would slice and knife you into your hearts, you will have sleepless nights. You would have sleepless nights. Last May 12th was our 25th banquet anniversary, and there was a missionary from Laos and he was in need of completing his project, but there was no part of the program that we should have an offering. I was about to dismiss the whole 400 guests, but the Holy Spirit worked in my heart, if you don't do it now, you'll get a spanking. You know what the Holy Spirit was saying? Ask them. I said, Lord, they might throw rocks at me. I'll take care of the rocks. So I said, by the way, before you go, our brother from Laos needs to finish a project which would involve raising up more missionaries because they don't have missionaries inside coming from the West. I said, he needs $22,000. And let's not pass the offering plate. If you have this $22,000 of our brother here, you better give it before you go out of the doors, because otherwise, you would have sleepless nights ahead of you. Oliver, what happened? After we dismissed, a widow came forward, and she said, I have just received an inheritance. Ward, he says, he said, I have just received an inheritance. I have his $22,000. I have his $22,000. You know what would that mean? It would mean the completion of a project that would make farmers missionaries and missionaries as farmers. It would turn the world upside down in that part of Southeast Asia. Brother Bo, you must end your sermon. You have only 7 minutes and a half. How did they know that? That's a lawyer speaking. End it. Again, I go back to what the Bible says, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a fact is established. I'd like to show some faces of people that we serve. By the way, Advancing Native Missions, we are serving 8,115 native missionaries in 83 countries in the world. From Iran, to Syria, to Iraq, to Indonesia, to Malaysia, to Cuba, to Macedonia, to Ukraine, it's all there. And we're still searching for more. But the only qualification is this, that you must be reaching to those who have not heard to complete the task. So what is the status of world missions today? Years ago, when world missions started, there were 17,000 or almost 17,000 people groups in the whole world. When I began serving the Lord in the 1980s, it went down to 13,000 remaining people groups who have not heard that there was a genuine Christmas more than 2,000 years ago. And then last week, because we try to find always that we're updated with the data, it's now 6,600 unreached people's groups in the world. And Advancing Native Missions is reaching out to 425 of them as we are speaking. This is the work. This is where God has called every one of us to declare his glory among the nations. Could I have the pictures, please? Thank you. These are Rahel and Hapon Rose from Bangladesh. When I heard about their work and they were struggling, they have around 10 churches and around 14 missionaries. When I heard that they are not moving in terms of declaring God's glory in their own nation because it is dangerous, it is difficult, you could be killed by declaring the gospel. And if you hand out gospel tracts in the trains, they throw you down through the doors while the train is running. So I went there myself and brought with me lots of money. And so I said, how could we help you? And the money didn't belong to me, it came from the churches like you. He said, Brother Bo, we need 50 gas lamps. We need 10,000 Bibles. We need 200 bicycles. We need all these things so we could be equipped, because we could not go to the villages at night because the cobra would bite us. And so by God's grace, the Lord used us to equip them. You know, Brother John, that was 2001, and now it's been 16 years. They struggled with 10 churches and 14 missionaries. Do you know now that they have 140 missionaries and 180 churches? That's around 10 churches being planted every year. Did you hear that? Now, the next one, please. Oh, look at him. That's my friend. He is a guy who is not he has no shame. When it's the gospel, he has no shame. By the way, the one before this was Rahel and Hapon Rose, and they wrote to me, and they said, Brother Bo, before we came to know you, before you visited us, our ministry was like an airplane that was just running in the tarmac. But when you came and equipped us with the help of the churches in America, we flew, and we fly so high for the glory of God. Now this one is Santos Thomas and his wife Simona. They are my friends. Oliver, these are your friends. You went there just this year or last year? You check on this group just last year. This year, you check on this group because we check them. You know, we said that from 14 missionaries to 140 missionaries, from 10 churches to 180 churches in the case of Bangladesh. Brother, this is in Kashmir. And Kashmir has a great conflict between India and Pakistan. And so they're right there in the conflict area. You know how Santos Thomas and Simona, how many missionaries they have? Because they came to me and Oliver, you and I were the one who interviewed him and vetted him and approved him. You know how many missionaries he has? He has 500 plus missionaries. You know how many churches he's planted for the last 17 years? 600 churches. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of investments. And God holds you accountable that the resources should be invested that would bring in value for the kingdom. It could not remain buried in the ground. The third place. This one is one of my favorites. I found him. He struggled. He's in one of the most sickening places in the whole mission fields of India. This is among the mountains where the Saura people are living. They were in G-strings. They were hostile to the gospel. And he went there as a missionary. His name is Narayan. When he went there, they threw stones at him. They pursued him with machetes. Sometimes he sleeps on the trees. You know how many years it took him to bring one convert to the Lord? Many of us would have surrendered. You know how many years? 12 years! With dysentery, with cholera, with malaria. He was there. 12 years. Until one day, he fell and he broke his wrist. So he asked a man to carry his small children as they go from village to village. And the man heard his evangelization of the villages, and he was the first convert. He was the first convert. When we discovered him, quote unquote, he had 10 churches also. And then his area is known for cerebral malaria. So he's not a doctor, he's an accountant, but he knows how to use syringes. And so he acted as the doctor of the Saura people, and dozens of children and men and women died on his arms of cerebral malaria. And then suddenly one day, his first granddaughter, Dawn, who was just 2 years old, also died of cerebral malaria. Then after his daughter, Mercy, who was the Sunday school teacher's, 10 days after her wedding, also died of cerebral malaria. I said, Brother Narayan, what could we do for you? He said, I need a small hospital. I said, come to the States. I'll drive you around the United States and plead your case before God's people. I pleaded his case in the churches of America like yours. And he went back. And we built him a 15-bed hospital. Look at that. And he's there. He was so happy. He said, we lost our granddaughter, Dawn. We lost my daughter, Mercy. I will appoint our daughter, Sharon, the one who's left behind with her brother, to be the nurse administrator of the hospital. And she was there for 2 years, and she died of cerebral malaria. And brother, I love this man, and I miss him. You know how I fed him while driving around because it was his favorite and also it was the only thing I could afford? He loves Fish Burger and Burger Kings. I said, are you sure? Oh, I love it. Could you give me two? I said, no, you'll have a heart attack. We were funny. We were funny. A lawyer and him like that. We were going to the churches. They found us funny. And so in 2008, he also got cerebral malaria. And he passed away, my friend. He left 68 churches. He left his work to his son, Philip. And Philip has now 300 churches among the Saura tribe and 12,000 believers. That is how effective they are. Let me close this sermon. Brother Azali is in one of the countries in South Asia. And one day he received the Lord because he saw the power of God in the life of his classmates. And so the enemy of the gospel killed his father and his mother and asked him to convert back to the former religion. He said no. He killed his sister and his brother. He continued distributing gospel tracts, and they kidnapped him, brought him to a certain place and hung him on the old electric fan. You know, have you ever experienced being tied to an electric fan? A big one, the wooden one, for 24 hours and the wood with water, so that when they untied you and told him, convert back, he said no. So they brought him back and sexually assaulted his wife in front of him and their 9-month-old baby. The wife survived the sexual assault. The baby didn't make it. His name is Azali. He had all his converts staying in his home because they were rejected by their families. So one day they kidnapped him and asked for ransom. His wife sold their only house. And they were driven to the streets. So they bought whatever money they left, a plastic tarp, and put it on a post, and they stay there. And this is our brother. So we heard from him. He wrote me and said, Brother Bo, Brother Carl, I expect him to ask me at least two things, Brett. Pastor Michael, I expected him to ask me two things, at least number one, that we could help him with asylum and come over here. Number two, at least give him a lawyer in his country to represent him. Do you know, brothers, that he didn't ask for those two things? You know what he asked of me and Carl? Could you send me some money so I could buy a used computer so I could print out more gospel tracts so I could cover more people in my own language? Broke my heart. What is our challenge today? Stand before you. Today is the 25th year anniversary of A&M, and we have 700 missionaries that has to be fully equipped with $50 a month. And I've been traveling for 7,000 miles now for the last 2 months in 40 meetings, and we were able to raise support for at least 200 of them, and we have 500 left standing in line waiting for that $50. But the good news is this. Somebody stood up and said, I'll pay for half of all the 500 at $25 a month. What is the challenge in this church today and the challenge in the churches in the coming days? If you are this person, if you are this family, if you are this church who have received compassion from Jesus Christ, would you pray about it and say, Bo, Oliver, Pastor Michael, I am that family, we are that family, we are that person. We will support all the 500 missionaries at $25 a month. Or you could say, we'll support 10 of them. We'll support one of them. And what would be their work? To declare God's glory among the Kamu people in Laos, among the Shan people in Burma, among the Gypsies in Macedonia, among the Tigris people in Indonesia, because they never heard about the Son of God who died for us and for them. If the Lord allows you in your program, there's an invitation there. And you say, Bo, Pastor Michael, Pastor Brandon, I'm one of those who have received God's compassion in my life. I'd like to sponsor one to declare God's glory among his own people. And 99% of these native missionaries speak the minimum of 3 to 5 languages. I speak 7 of them. So we could culturally relate, we could understand the language,
We don't need 2 years of language school. And just like me, there is no vacation. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads, please. Father God, in Jesus' name, the King of God, God, is a kingdom of forthrightness and honesty. And Pastor Brandon prayed for me, God, please give Brother Bo boldness and courage. Lord, I took up the challenge. Today, I bared and revealed my heart to my brothers and sisters. Maybe, Lord, the help is not from this place, but we know where the help comes from. The help comes from Him, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And He will help. He has brought us thus far to 8,115 missionaries. And many more will be equipped so that they could declare the glory of God among their own peoples. So many more would come to that banquet of the Lamb and saying, Amen, and blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto Him who sits on the throne forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen.
Let's stand and respond to God's word to us this morning.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. We are bought by your grace, thankful heirs of your salvation. May our song ever be strong witness to all nations that great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out.
Wonderful day, wonderful day. In a moment, Pastor Brandon is going to dismiss our missionary guests, and they're going to go to their spots back there, and once they have left the sanctuary, you may also be dismissed, and the Evangelism Commission has a gift for you. Nice job, Doctor. Got good hands. Please take some time to meet someone. If the Lord has touched your heart, if the Holy Spirit has touched your heart and given you some kind of interest in one of these or more than one of these folks, find them and speak to them a little bit and get to know them and show them your appreciation for their partnership with us in the ministry of the gospel. So, Brandon, go ahead, and then I will give us a benediction.
If we could, just one second, Clinton, as we go out, the last slide, if you could just leave that up there, the Livingston slide. You want to benedict, and then we'll leave.
Okay. People of God, receive this benediction. Go out and make known the mystery of the gospel. Keep alert and pray. At all times, draw strength from God's power and so stand firm against all that would corrupt you. And may God arm you with the truth and with righteousness. May Christ Jesus give you words of spirit and life. And may the Holy Spirit draw you near to God's presence and bless you with honor and grace, so that you in return may be truth and hope and grace to all you meet this week. Go in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.